The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you realize that what you say is not always as important as how you say it? Can you get up in front of any audience at any time and be dynamic? Welcome to Communication Nation with your host, Jill Schiffelbein. Today, we'll demonstrate how small changes in communication behaviors can have a big impact on a business's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Jill Schiffelbein.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're tuning in from or when you're listening. My name is Jill Schiffelbein, and this is Communication Nation. So today it's June 4th, 2013, and it's been a little while since I traded out my radio host hat and interviewer hat and put on my teaching hat. So today we're going to do another episode of communication training. And the last episode we did on communication training was on public speaking, presentation, and speech organization. So if you didn't tune into that, that episode gives you really four short power-packed segments of how to be a better speaker, how to organize your message, how to think about your ideas, and some tips on how to present effectively. Today's topic, and this is one that I could probably spend a dozen shows talking about, but we'll truncate it into just one, is persuasion. And persuasion to me is one of those topics that can be a little bit controversial, which is good, but it is also very instrumental in what most of us do on a day-to-day basis. So let's take a minute and let this idea of what persuasive communication is sink in a little bit. The idea of persuasive communication is communicating in a way that gets people to act. Well, if you're taking it at that simple of a level, some would argue, and this is one of those big theoretical debates in the communication field, is that every act to communicate is an act to persuade. So anytime you communicate with intention, you are communicating to persuade. So if we sit and let that marinate a little bit, let that soak in and think about it. Okay, so when we're telling our friends a story, right, we want to transmit information and we want them to understand. So therefore, we're trying to persuade them to see the story in our vision, in our way, from our frame of reference. So, okay, maybe we can see that argument. I'm not going to go too deep into the theoretical implications of persuasion here, because that's not the point of the show, because we could ruminate on that all day and then you're not going to have any takeaways to impact your business's bottom line. But what we are going to do is go through some different elements of persuasion and look at some different frameworks that we can use to make our communication more persuasive and in turn more effective. And these are frameworks that I'm going to give you that you can use for any type of communication, whether it's at home, whether it's in business, with shareholders, stakeholders, with boards of directors, etc. All of these different models and techniques are effective across the board. They just need to be adapted for different situations. And so with my teaching hat on today, let's start with communication training persuasion. When we first talk about the idea of persuasion, it's getting people to act. And I know I said that earlier, but I want to repeat it again because that is the definition that we're going off of today. We want to persuade in order to get people to act, to follow some course of action, to have some frame of reference or thought, to produce some sort of behavior, to get some end goal or outcome. And most of us in business have our priorities set by a day around those goals and outcomes. So we need to think about communicating in a way that helps us reach those. Maybe you have some short-term objectives that will help you reach your goal in the long term. All of those can be dealt with in a persuasive way because most likely you're not dealing with these objectives and goals in isolation. They involve other people, other places, other things around you, and you need to integrate those more effectively. And thinking about that, though, and this is something that you've heard me say on many other episodes of the show, and obviously you know it's important. Let's go first to the idea of when you're persuading someone, what type of frame of reference do you need to have as a speaker? And I'll give you a couple of examples of this. As I've said many times before, people support what they help create. So if you can get people to feel that they have buy-in to something, that they have agency or efficacy in dealing with an issue, they are more likely to listen to you more authentically, in a more genuine way, in a more conscious way, and prescribe courses of actions, or perhaps follow your prescribed courses of action more often than not. That's because we want to feel that sense of belonging. We want to be involved in that type of community-based and collaborative-based decision-making. And that's just our human nature. With that being said, how do you get to that point? And how do you start endearing an audience to you, endearing whether it's an audience of one or an audience of thousands to you as a speaker in a genuine and authentic way? Let me give you an example of how not to do it, and this will probably make some sense. Now, not every car dealership is the same, and I'm well aware of that, but the majority of them that I have personally dealt with have salespeople that are trained in a strict sales methodology. They probably had some training company come in and give you this bullet point list of here's a process you need to follow, here are the things you need to do, and then boom, go get your sales. Okay, not knocking all of that stuff, but a lot of times those companies that come in and do the training haven't taken the time to really sit down, get to know the company, get to know the audience, the consumers, and then really think about how that process can connect to them. So what happens is you go to a car lot, you're looking at a car, you're just, you know, casual weekend, getting out of the house, trying to look at a car. Quite frankly, you don't really want to be bothered to talk to, you just want to get some information. But lo and behold, boom, like vultures, salespeople come in and they come and they start asking you questions. And they ask you question after question after question, getting you to disclose and getting you to divulge information. But that entire time, what are they giving you? Next to nothing in most cases. Maybe they're giving you some information about a car, so some technical information, but are they really getting into more of the soft information, the human information about why you would want to have a relationship with them to buy a car from them? Typically not. They're very linear. They're very focused on getting information from you. And then there's half the time not even listening fully. And they're just taking this information, listening for keywords, and boom, when you say something, sometimes they interrupt you or they get excited and they just jump in with more information about something or a suggesting of a car, and it gets really frustrating. I remember one time I went into a dealership. I knew exactly what I was looking for. I wanted to look at one car and one car only because I was comparing a mini SUV across different brands. And it was extremely pointed. And I went in and I told them right up front exactly what I wanted, exactly what I wanted to see. But what did the person do? Of course, did not listen to me, followed their script, asked all these questions, showed me other cars, and I wasted a bunch of time. And near the middle of it, I stopped him again and said, listen, as I said, when I walked in the door, all I want to do is see this one model and this one car and test drive it. And eventually we got to that goal. But it was a long process. Did I buy that car there? Absolutely not. I didn't even buy that brand for that matter, even though it was a good car. But what happens is when you're trying to persuade someone, and in sales, in management, when you're speaking in public, when you're trying to organize people, in all of these instances, we want people to act in some way or to follow some prescribed course of action. In the case of the car salesman, all of these questions and questions and questions without reciprocating, without giving me any information in return that relates to exactly what I said, I am not going to see this person as an effective communicator. I am not going to be persuaded by this person because I don't feel they have my best interests at heart. And that is a lesson on what we should be doing when we're thinking of putting ourselves in the frame of mind of someone who's trying to persuade another. The first thing you have to do is endear yourself to the audience. Again, audience of one, audience of thousands, it doesn't matter. Find a way to let those people buy in and help you create what you are going to say. Now, it's very different when you're working in a group of one-on-one versus, a large audience. Let me throw out a popular name that most of us know. Tony Robbins, right? This guy, multimillionaire, has made tons of money off of motivational speaking and public speaking. And when he started, of course, it was smaller. Every speaker that gets started starts on this smaller stage, and you're able to engage and interact with your audience differently. But even now, when he has audiences in the tens of thousands of people, he finds a way to endear himself to the audience in a way that gets their buy-in. And he does this by asking questions. And not just simple yes or no. Do you want to be motivated today? I know it's not that simple. I'm being facetious here. But do you want to be motivated today? Yes, and the crowd's getting pumped up. But then asking questions that really make people think about their behaviors in relation to the message, getting them to help create the experience alongside the speaker. That is how, even if you're speaking to tens of thousands of people, you can get people to buy into what you're saying, to buy into the message, and have them feel like they have the agency to create part of it alongside of you. And that is really important. Another example, think of any meeting you've ever had with a manager, a superior, or a boss. And think of a performance review you may have had. Now, hopefully some of you have had some stellar performance review experiences, and not just stellar in that you got all, gold stars across the board, but really constructive feedback. The most effective bosses and managers, when they do reviews, will actually have employees come to the table with suggestions on how they can improve, and then will work together with the employee to find a solution. A performance review is a huge example of persuasive communication, because from the managerial side, you're wanting to persuade that employee to perform better, which obviously helps increase productivity, profitability, et cetera, et cetera. From the employee side, if you're coming into that performance review, you want to let your manager or supervisor know that you have taken the time and had the forethought to think those things out. And by doing that, in turn, will be more persuasive to them. And so it's a two-way street. It's a reciprocal interchange and process, but thinking of it in that way is sometimes complicated. And now you ask the question, okay, Jill, you've given us examples. I see your point, but how do we do that? And that's where the next few sections of this show are going to get intense. We're going to start the next session talking about Monroe's motivated sequence, which I've mentioned quickly on a show before, but it's a really good way to organize any type of persuasive message. And I'm going to walk you through that in detail. And then the bulk of the show is going to be spent on Impromptu Gurus, which of course is me and my company's Tempt Action Model, which is a model that will teach you how to deliver messages persuasively. So from the verbal and nonverbal, and not the crafting of the message like Monroe's Motivated Sequence, but the actual delivery of the message, which is really, really important. So we'll spend a lot of time on that today. So when we come back, get ready, get your student mind in gear. If you're a note taker, get those notes out and be ready to learn all about persuasion. If you're tuning in, tweet us out at Impromptu Guru or hashtag Communication Nation. We'll be right back after break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right. Before we dive right back into our topic today, which is persuasion, I want to give a couple of bits of information. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Bart, who's listening in from the UK over in London. Thank you for reaching out and for listening to Communication Nation. And if you want a shout out on the air, look me up on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter, tweet me out and be recognized. I love hearing from my listeners what topics you want to hear about, what ones resonated with you most. So be sure to connect. If you go to my show page, you'll be able to see all the links to social media. But pretty much all you need to know is look up Impromptu Guru and you'll find me all over the place. So please do connect. I love hearing from you. The other thing I want to tell you about is a special show I'm going to have coming up in June. One of the requests that I've gotten is, you know, I love the show, like learning about different things, like the takeaways, but sometimes want to pick your brain on some things. And so sometime in July, and I'm not going to reveal the date, if you want to know it, go ahead and go to my website, impromptuguru.com, and sign up for Guru Mail, and you'll be getting those notifications, or join me on my social media networks. So I'm going to have a show called Ask the Guru, where you can call in live and ask me any type of communication-related question that you may have. Now, I'll ask you to keep your question kind of brief because obviously we have a show to fill and people will want to call in and not just have one question answered. But this will be your chance to get some free consultation. What communication problem is plaguing you in your organization, in your personal life, in your business relationships, in your networking, all of those? Get them answered. So stay tuned for that in July. I'll be dropping some hints on when that might be through future shows. But again, that will be your chance as listeners to really reach out, engage with me, and ask questions that you want to know the answers to. So I hope you enjoy that. So again, sign up for my email at impromptuguru.com and you can click on Guru Mail, or you can reach out to me on social media as I'll be posting the information there as well. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. All right, now that we have those bits of information out of the way, let's talk about our framework for organizing persuasive speeches. Monroe's motivated sequence. And this is one of those things that, to be completely honest with you, I learned when I was an undergraduate. It was one of those things read over in a textbook, took a test on it, memorized it, didn't think much about it. Once I started getting into my career, my professional life, and really once I started running my own business and doing consulting, this sequence has helped me in so many ways frame communication more effectively to get my desired results. A little bit of history on it. It was developed in the mid-1930s by a man named, appropriately, Alan Monroe, and he was from Purdue University. And the idea behind this sequence is that it's organizing speeches in a way that moves or inspires people to take action. And so what's interesting of this approach is that it also focuses on what the audience can do in a situation. You know, what do you want the audience to do, but then reframing it in a way, what can the audience do in this situation? And that again gets people to buy in more. Very big difference. It's not that you're telling them what they can do, it's that you're sharing a possible solution with them. And that statement will make a lot more sense once I walk through these steps a little bit. So there are five steps in Monroe's motivated sequence. I'm going to list them all and then break each one down for you. You grab the attention, you establish a need, you satisfy that need, you produce a visualization of what will happen if your need gets adopted, or if that satisfaction step gets adopted with that need, and then you have a call to action. So attention, need, satisfaction, visualization, action. Those are the five steps in Monroe's motivated sequence. All right, but what do they really mean? Let's break them down. The first step, attention, that's pretty standard. Most speeches, most public speaking classes will talk to you about how when you're starting a speech, you need to gain the audience's attention. And when I'm saying speech here and when I'm talking about a presentation, I'm not just talking to a large audience. This organizational pattern can also be used in one-on-one situations, in small group situations. Again, it's a good sequence and framework for organizing your thoughts when you're trying to move people to action. So in the attention step, a lot of the things we talked about earlier in the first segment of the show can really start to make some sense here. You want to gain the audience's attention, but you want to do it in a way that is authentic, that is genuine, and starts to get their buy-in. You want to start getting audience buy-in to your idea, to the issue at hand, to the potential solution right out of the gate. And a lot of times speakers will come in and they'll make a joke or use humor, and then that joke in no way, shape, or form ties in to what is being talked about, but it was just meant to break the ice. Well, that's fine, everyone laughed, but we're not really bought into you as a speaker. Why should we trust you? Give something of yourself to the audience to let them know that you're sharing with them, not telling them. Most people will put up a defensive gate if you go in and say, listen, I want to tell you something. It's almost that same deadly statement as, you know, you're in a relationship and someone says, you know, we need to talk. You know, that's one of those red flags go up, my defensive mechanisms go up in place, and you're trying to deal with it, but you're listening in a way that has a defensive posture, so you're not going to be as effective once you get into the message, because people are already on alert. The same way I am when I walk into the car dealership and immediately I feel like I'm attacked by a vulture. That gets my attention, but not in a positive and effective way. So when you're thinking about gaining attention, thinking about sharing a story of your experience with the topic that you're going to discuss. Thinking about sharing of a time where maybe you didn't do so well at something, where you failed. People like people to be humble, especially when speakers are up in front of a room, especially when you're the one that has the perceived power in the situation. If you can humble yourself in a way that the audience can directly relate to you, they are going to listen more attentively. So getting attention isn't just about making some startling statement that makes people, holy cow, need to pay attention. It's about thinking strategically about how we can get people to buy into our message, to start supporting what we want to create with them in this presentation, in this conversation, in this meeting, whatever the persuasive context may be. The next step we go into is the need. So we have the attention. We've started to get them to buy into something. We have started to endear them to us as a speaker, to us as a presenter, and we've started to let them have some agency in the process. Now we move on to the second step, establishing the need. And when you establish the need, what you're doing is basically letting your audience know that you know what they need. Let me give you an example of that, because I know that sounded a little redundant. When I went into that car dealership and I said, this is exactly what I want to do up front, the person didn't listen to me. He tried to sell me on a million other different things and look at all these other cars, etc. My need was to go in there and to look at a car. He would have been effective if he would have listened to me and said, Jill, I understand that you need to see this car today and that that's what you want to do. I'm going to take you to do that right away. But afterwards, if you're interested, I have these other cars that I could show you that I think you might like based on what you've told me. That approach, I would have looked at the cars, I wouldn't have had my defensive mechanisms up as much, and I would have been more open to the idea. Very big difference from me putting out what I want and then not being followed through on. Very, very different. So when you're establishing a need in your audience, you want to let them know that you know where they're at. Think of it this way. Have you ever had a consultant or a speaker come into your organization and start talking about their ideology or their framework or their methods, whatever it is, but they have zero idea about how your business actually operates because they didn't take the time to research it? Them establishing a need in you is not going to be as effective as a person who comes in and says, listen, I've spent the last week shadowing your organization, looking at management, looking at people in the field, and from that, here is what I have observed. And then ask people, is that accurate to your experience? Get that feedback. And then, okay, based on that, here's what I've identified. You all are really having a hard time converting sales to upgrades. Is that true? Yes or no? Yes, we start to get buy-in. We start to get that feedback from the audience. And so you establish the need. Then you go deeper into that. And so potentially, if you establish these sales and get these upgraded sales, it can mean X number of dollars over Y number of months and a Z increase to the bottom line, etc. Then you get into the technical stuff. But you're not just going to walk into an audience and say, listen, I understand that you really need help dealing with selling upgrades to people. No, not going to be as effective. So you establish the need within a context. You don't have to flat out come and say it. Now, of course, if you're in a 10-minute business meeting and you're trying to be persuasive, that's a little different. I'm thinking of a longer training type event here. But you need to establish that need. You need to let the audience know that you understand their perspective. You understand where they're coming from instead of just trying to throw out knowledge about a situation. Make sure you have that context. Then you move into the satisfaction step. And this is, in my opinion, the absolute most important step to get right. Now, that being said, you obviously need to have the attention of the audience, the engagement, the buy-in, and have established the need clearly. Obviously, it's all predicated on that. But the satisfaction step is when you get to dive in and deliver your solution. So once you've gotten audience buy-in, once you let them know what their need is and you've established that need in your audience, boom, you're that knight in shining armor riding up on that white horse who comes to save the day with this satisfaction step. And this is whatever solution you want them to adopt. This is whatever course of action you want them to take. This is whatever follow through you desire from them. That is incredibly important. And that is where you'll have the audience hooked. And this is very, very instrumental to the last two steps, which we're going to get into after the break. So let me summarize what we've talked about so far in this sequence. There's five steps: attention, need, satisfaction, visualization, and action. And we've talked about the first three. You get attention by sharing information, by getting the audience to slowly buy into you as a speaker, because they're not going to listen to you if they don't trust you first. That relational aspect is huge. Then you're going to establish a need by letting the audience know that you've done your due diligence, you've done your research, you've investigated what's going on, and you see their clear need. You establish that. Then you go into, boom, your gold nugget, how you're going to satisfy that need, how your product will help their retail sales, their increased upgrades get better, how your service is going to help them be more efficient, how your idea is going to lead to more profitability, whatever it may be. And when we come back, we'll talk about how visualization and action play into the sequence. Thank you for tuning in to this episode on communication training and persuasion. Tweet us out at Impromptu Guru. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
we're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Calling all CFOs, finance, and risk professionals. Your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. If you have a question for Jill, send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We are in the middle of discussing communication training, specifically persuasion today. And when we left off the last segment, I was talking to you about the five steps in Monroe's motivated sequence. We started off talking about the attention, need, and satisfaction steps. Now we're going to go into the visualization and action steps, which are the closing parts of the sequence. So when you've satisfied that need that you've put out, and I gave the example of, you know, after analyzing everything, et cetera, I have discovered that your organization is really having a problem, not with the sales, but with upgrading the sales, that little extra effort, that bump that can help increase your bottom line exponentially, et cetera. Now, using that example, I come in with the solution. And so I can either say myself as a communication trainer, what I would do is these communication behaviors can help you increase those upgraded sales. And then I would teach about those. If you were trying to have these people adopt a software package, you know, this software package, this CRM, this, customer management system, whatever it's going to be, is going to help you better manage your clients, what can help you better manage upgrades, etc. So you have all these different options. So no matter what your product, service, or solution is, bring it in a way that satisfies. And after you do that, now it gets into those visual learners, which a lot of us are. You go into the visualization step, and the visualization step helps the audience see, paints a picture with words, if you will, or if you have actual images you can use, fantastic. It helps the audience see what their world will look like if they adopt your solution. If they buy your product, if they follow your advice, if they use your service, they hire you as a consultant, whatever it may be, this is where you let the audience visualize that. If this is something that can be tied to profits and tied to the bottom line, and you can graphically show this or numerically show this, by all means, do it. If you can put this in terms that not only benefit, let's say you're doing a group training with management and staff, in terms that not only benefit the bottom line of the company, but how it impacts the employees individually, do that. Get a full visualization of what each segment of the audience's world will look like if they adopt the solution. And that's a powerful part. And then finally, after you've done all that, you've gotten the audience to buy in, you have their attention, you let them know that you understand them and you established a need, you gave them your solution to satisfy that need, you've helped them visualize what it'll look like if they follow your course of action, buy your product, etc., then that's when you do the call to action. That is the final step. And it's not just as simple as, so buy my product or so hire me. But sometimes the call to action involves giving people a chance to ask questions and discuss things further. Sometimes it involves you saying what you're going to do as follow-up to make that happen. And depending on your situation, there's so many different potential calls to action. But at the end, you want to make sure it is clear that you want them to buy, adopt, utilize, integrate whatever it is, whatever action verb you want them to do, you want to have that statement in there. And so it's not as simple as we've done all these steps and okay, now buy my product, because sometimes that gets a little sketchy, but you want to summarize those main points, summarize what you've talked about, and then ask for the call to action. Very, very important there. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Monroe's motivated sequence: attention, need, satisfaction, visualization, and action. And those steps will help you organize, again, any type of persuasive communication, whether it's one-on-one, one-on-small group, or one to thousands or tens of thousands of people. If you use this framework to start thinking strategically about the way you communicate, you are going to be more successful. But that's just the messaging aspect of it. And we all know that communication involves so much more than just the message. It also involves verbal and nonverbal communication. That is your delivery. And when we say the word delivery, again, I'm not talking about just being on front of a stage and talking to thousands of people. The delivery that you have one-on-one, the delivery you have one-on-small group, all of these things come into play. And with that, I'm going to transition us into talking about Impromptu Guru, my company's TEMPT Action Model. And the acronym TEMPT, T-E-M-P-T, stands for five things that once you start thinking about and ingesting and practicing in your life will make you not only a more effective communicator, but more importantly, a more effective persuasive communicator, which is the goal here today. Now let's get into what TEMPT stands for. And the first letter T stands for touch. And I'm going to frame this in the way, again, of you as the speaker, as a presenter, as a person leading a conversation. What does touch mean? Does it mean we physically reach out and touch someone? Well, in some situations you could, but in most of our settings, if we did that, we might be sued for sexual harassment. So I encourage you to stay clear of that. But what I mean by touch is that the audience needs to feel like you have, and I know this will sound corny, but bear with me, that you have hugged them with your words. And this is so important in forming relationships with your audience, especially for those who may be speaking in front of audiences of hundreds and thousands where you don't get the individual interaction, the handshakes, the small talk at the beginning. You want to metaphorically touch your audience in some way. But how do you do that? How do you hug people with words? I've already given you some examples. Let me rephrase and let me get those back up here. When you are sharing things with somebody, it's different than telling. You can touch your audience metaphorically by sharing information about yourself that makes you humble, that puts you, so to speak, at their level, that makes you one of them. Athletes, for example, get interviewed all the time. And so many times they don't let us into who they are as people. But the athletes that a lot of us follow are not just excelling in their chosen sport, but they've also opened up to the media about their life. They have opened up in a way that makes people connect to them, that makes them feel hugged with their words. I'm going to give you an example of one of my clients who's been in the media a ton lately. And I'm so fortunate to work with her. She's an awesome lady. A lot of you have probably heard her name, Brittany Griner. She was the number one draft pick out of college. She went to the Phoenix Mercury. She is just an all-around awesome person, but very commonly misunderstood. And I told her, Brittany, you know, you really need to put more of yourself out there. We know who you are on the court. We want to know who you are as a person. That's what's going to get people to really connect to you and support you beyond what you're doing on the floor, on the hardwood. And she says, looks at me, and I said, you need to hug them with words. And she kind of smiled and said, hug them with words. Okay. And we went from there. And since we've had those conversations, I've loved seeing the way that she's opened up to people. In the past 2 months, she has come out literally and figuratively in so many different ways with stories about her childhood, with being bullied, with coming out, with her sexuality, with her adapting to a new league, adapting to a new city. All of those things that make her human and let us identify with her more as a person and not just this celebrity all-star athlete. And that is really important. And now that is obviously one example that's a bit more extreme. She's in the public eye a lot. But you as a communicator, no matter what your business is, no matter if you're in front of one person or 100 or 1,000 people, you want to touch people metaphorically. You want to hug them with your words. You want to form a relationship with them in a way that lets them know that you're willing to share with them, that you're willing to let them be a part of your decision, a part of your process, a part of your experience. And that is where persuasive delivery will really, really come into play. But as delivery techniques that go, you can't touch people, you can't hug people with words, you can't get out and make that connection if you're standing behind a podium or if you're standing behind this big desk of a barrier. Now, let me say, sometimes I know you have to be in front of behind podiums and you have to use them based on the way the room's set up, but you can still lean over the podium, make your gestures reaching out for them, transcending that barrier that podium is putting there. The nonverbal space that you're in, and I have a 60-second guru video on this up on my website. You can search nonverbal barriers for public speaking on Google, or just go to impromptuguru.com and search for it, and you'll find it. And it's a quick-minute video that will really explain this more in detail and visually, too, since I can't do that on the radio, obviously. But the idea of touching an audience is going to be more difficult if you're putting barriers in between. When you went into the principal's office when you were a kid, the principal was behind this big, intimidating desk, and you were in this little chair. There is a clear nonverbal power barrier there. If you're a salesperson and walking up to a receptionist, to an agent who you want to get their attention and actually get them to start adopting your product or service, you shouldn't walk in, put your hands on their desk, and just, you know, be over them. Instead, you might want to walk in, shake their hand, and sit down and have a conversation on their level. Establish that playing field. Establish that touch. Make people feel comfortable with you. And I know I'm talking a lot on this because it is just so incredibly important that you know a way to hug people with your words. And the other steps of this process that I'm going to go into, you will actually see how nonverbal behaviors can help play into that, can help play into that hugging process, if you will. But again, very important to start thinking of ways you can eliminate nonverbal barriers to touch, nonverbal barriers to connection. Very instrumental in getting people to buy in to see you as genuine, authentic, and even more important, honest. And when we want to persuade people, we need people to trust us, bottom line. And that's where the next steps of this tempt action model in terms of your verbal and nonverbal delivery will really start to hit home. And we're going to talk about those when we come back from break. We're going to finish up the show talking about the EMPT of tempt action and seeing how we can use this model, this framework, to really hit a grand slam when it comes to delivering persuasive messages. We'll be right back on Communication Nation.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment, and that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune in to Real Recognition Radio, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We're in the middle of communication training persuasion today, and I just started to get into, in the previous segment, Impromptu Guru's Tempt Action Model. And all of the things that I'm going to be talking about today also have supplemental videos on my website. And if you go to ImpromptuGuru.com and click on 60 Second Guru on the site, you'll be able to find literally dozens of free videos that will help you improve your communication and presentation in a minute or less, thus 60 Second Guru. So go to ImpromptuGuru.com and check those out. It'll give you some visualizations to help you better understand what we're talking about on the show today. So I just talked to you about the first T, touch, in the Tempt Action Model, and how you want to metaphorically touch people and hug people with your words. But what nonverbal behaviors really get you to do that? Well, let's start with E, eye contact. So we have touch and we have eye contact. Eye contact is the number one conveyor of honesty in communication in the continental United States, not just continental, in the whole United States, but in North American culture in general. This is the nonverbal behavior you really need to go into. Now, in some Asian cultures, in some Latin American cultures, it's not as strong, but it's still very important. But you just need to learn how to adapt it appropriately for that cultural situation. But when we're talking U.S. business, we are talking eye contact, making eye contact. Now, not in the creepy way where you're staring and not blinking, but in the natural conversational way. When you're having a conversation with someone, your eyes will glance to their forehead, to their shoulder, to behind them, to in front of them, whatever, during the conversation. Mimic that eye contact with your audience, with one-on-one situations, with one-on small group, with one-on large group. And again, there's some videos online. I actually think there's three different videos on eye contact up there that you can look at, basically talking about eye contact in conversation, on video, and in larger groups. And so very, very useful to know depending on what audience you're speaking to. But eye contact is so important because honesty is conveyed. The trust is conveyed. You know, the old adage, eyes are the windows to the soul. And while that may be a cliche and an adage, it is very true. People read people through their eyes. And if you're hiding or averting them, people think you're sketchy and they don't tend to trust you as much. And when it comes to persuading, you must have the trust of your audience. You must have the trust of the person or persons you are trying to persuade. Absolutely essential. Then we go into M, movement. So we have touch, eye contact, and movement. People like people who are energetic, who are dynamic, and who are fluid. People who stand in the same place and have no movement communicate that they are inflexible. When you're trying to gain trust, when you're trying to persuade someone, you want to show your audience that you're willing to be flexible, that you're willing to compromise. And even if you may not be able to compromise on a point nonverbally, you still want to be communicating that flexibility, because then people have the perception that you're not rigid, that you're not just after one thing and one thing only, and that you will be willing to hear them out. That is what movement conveys. And so I'm not just talking about movement to one side of the room or the other, but not just sitting still, not just staring at someone, not just standing stagnant behind a podium. If you're behind a podium, reach out, reach forward to make those gestures. Maybe not at a complete 90-degree angle, but let's at least try for that 45-degree angle, that 60-degree angle going towards your audience. Transcend that barrier of the podium. That's really important when it comes to movement. And make sure if you're doing it behind the podium that all of your gestures are above the waist or above podium level if it's a taller podium. All of those things are important if you want to be seen and have that movement perceived. If you're walking around the room, don't be pacing back and forth, but be moving in a natural way, showing your audience that you want to engage with all parts of the room, with all parts of them. That movement will help feed back into the touch and your ability to form that relationship, which I put in enough now, we all know is essential to being persuasive. So you want to have that movement through gestures, through physical movement. But Jill, you may ask, what am I supposed to do if it's a one-on-one situation? I'm not going to walk up around the room. Move and gesture while you're giving the presentation. I'm not talking about, you know, flailing arms everywhere, but having some energy and having some gestures to what you're saying can really help people get your point more effectively. Additionally, the movement is in nonverbal movement of your face. When they're talking to you and you're listening, don't just sit there and stare with them. Move your head a little bit, nod your head, write down notes if that's appropriate. Have some type of movement in the conversation that shows your audience you are engaging with them. As you know, when you're speaking, picture yourself speaking in front of a large audience. If you're throwing an idea out and you start to see the head nods of the audience, that's movement from the audience saying that they are listening to you. When you're in that one-on-one situation, that type of reciprocal behavior is appropriate. The simplest gesture, such as nodding your head in agreement or showing that you're following along in someone's process when they're communicating, communicates a lot. It communicates your touch. It communicates a relationship. It communicates that you're paying attention, that you are engaged. And all of those different types of movement are really important for your audience. Now, of course, given the situation, whether you're on camera and you're boxed into a certain area, whether you're on a stage that has a podium that you have to stay in, or whether you have free rein, the amount of movement that you can do is different. But the idea behind moving your body to show that you are flexible, to show that you are not rigid, subconsciously, that is what's going through the audience's mind. So you need to make sure to do that. And then we go into paralanguage, the P in tempt. So we have touch, eye contact, movement, and now paralanguage. Paralanguage is essentially everything other than words in terms of your delivery. And what that means is that your rate, your tone, your pitch, all of those things can vary. Example, if I was sitting here speaking like this the entire time and the whole episode was done in this semi-monotonous voice, and it's monotonous because I have a very difficult time being this way, I mean, that would just be awful. You wouldn't have any voice inflection. You wouldn't have a change in tone, in rate, in pitch. And that's what makes a speaker dynamic. That's what makes people engaged. One of perhaps my favorite videos that I've done and my favorite concepts that I like to teach is called the paralanguage roller coaster. And what this is thinking about how you're delivering in a way that mimics a roller coaster. You know, the traditional roller coasters, not the ones now that just shoot you right out of the gate and scare you to death, but the ones that have that buildup. You're getting the attention, you're getting latched in, you're getting excited. And as you go up, you're going slow, you're going slow, you're going slow. You know something important is coming and boom, it gets really exciting and something important is coming and then you get to learn all about it and then it slows down a little bit and we start to build up again and start to build up again. And then, oh yes, the next twist and turn is coming. And you can see my voice working like a roller coaster. And a good way to test this for yourself is by standing up when you're speaking, putting your hands on your abdomen. And if you have voice inflections, if you are using paralanguage in a way that's giving you variance in your rate, tone, and pitch, you're going to feel your abdomen and your diaphragm moving while you're speaking. Good speakers who are projecting really loud will actually be engaging their core while they're doing it. To project, especially if you don't have a microphone, you're going to be working it up. And that is a trick to understand paralanguage. But again, go check out those videos online. And the last T in tempt action is training. And by training, I don't mean just practice, 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 but I mean train yourself and train yourself in only one area at a time. This is really important. I've thrown out a lot of information for you today, and hopefully you'll be able to let it sink in, let it marinate, and maybe listen to different segments again if you need a refresher. But when you start to implement these suggestions, these takeaways, do one at a time. Do not overwhelm yourself by trying to get touch, eye contact, movement, paralanguage, everything nailed in a single setting. Do it one at a time. Take your time with it, and once you feel some naturalness with the concept, move on to the next one. So in order to tempt people into action with your delivery, you need to touch them, hug them with words, make meaningful eye contact, movement to show your flexibility, paralanguage to get that variance, that enthusiasm, that emotion, and then training yourself in one thing at a time. And that is our episode on communication training persuasion. I've talked to you about Monroe's motivated sequence, the tempt action model, and how to get audience engagement. And I would love it if my audience would engage with me. So be sure, go to my website at impromptuguru.com and sign up for Guru Mail for information on Ask the Guru segment that will be coming up in July. And remember, of course, find me on Twitter, Facebook, at impromptuguru. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Communication Nation, and I'll be back with you again next week.
Please join your host, Jill Schiffelbein, again next Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, because communication matters.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.